Go ahead and have a seat, please. Good morning. I get the privilege of, once again, opening the scriptures, the words of life, and today talking about really, truly, probably one of the great subjects of all time. And it's something people really seek after, whether they even know it or not at times. I've actually asked Fred to, I've had a song queued up, and if you're ready over there, Fred, I'll play a little bit of it. I'll tell you when to kind of drop it off. But this kind of sums up, I think, maybe a little bit of some of the exposure we've had, some of the things that you see, some of the things that people seek after, some of the things that people are absorbed in day after day after day. So if you're ready anytime, I think you'll remember this.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just to be loved. But what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love. There's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just
pick that up later, but that's so cool. That's such a great song. We all automatically kick into it. By the way, that's Dionne Warwick for you younger people. That song was probably produced, I don't know, a long time ago, right? 70s? 60s? 60s? Yeah. You know what? People are still singing that same song in their own different way. They're writing books about it. You see it on TV. They're writing songs about it because people are still searching. They're looking. They are desirous to have love, to have acceptance, to have fulfillment. And isn't it so awesome that we have a relationship with a God whose nature is love? Not to love us, but that his nature in and of itself is love. And he just wants to give it to us so freely. You know, love, it tells the greatest story and it guides the noblest adventure. It moves the humblest person to service and it energizes the victor's quest. It fuels the servant's desire and it activates the master's touch. Love paralyzes fear, and it sets its captives free. Love promotes healing, and its fruit is joy and peace. Love is so unconditionally given, yet it seeks no future favor. Love this great can only be of God, and yet, by default, we are partakers of it. So, for these next few moments this morning, I want to share on a title called A Love for All Times. And we go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, a love for all times. Love is the most powerful force there is in this universe. Love created this universe. God and love are axiomatic. They're one in the same. See. Romans 12:1, maybe you've heard this before. If not, we'll read it here together. Al, you want to stand up and read that?
Sure. Romans 12:1.
And 2.
And 2.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Which is your reasonable or logical service.
not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in the perfect will of God.
I wanted to share a little bit from Jan's Aramaic translation. Wonderful piece of work done by one of our very own fellowship members here, Reverend Jan Majera. Some of you may not know her. It's available in the bookstore. In verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, it says, "And do not imitate this world, but be turned the other way by the renewal of your minds and distinguish what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Other versions say, do not be squeezed into the mold that this world tries to place you in. And it's coming from every direction, if you haven't noticed. Try to squeeze you, pressure you, push you, so that you become fashioned after an image that the world is promoting. And actually, even what it's promoting about love. The world will easily define for you what love is. And most of it's kind of distasteful, really. I mean, as the world turns, General Hospital, all my children, One Life to Live. I mean, who would think that those shows would have lasted as long as they possibly have? But yet somehow people are attracted to that type of, I would call it, drama. But there's some sort of thing that draws people to that. So the world, anyway, in so many different ways, is trying to teach young people, adults, everybody about what love is. And yet here's God's word, and it says, don't imitate the world. Don't be fashioned according to the world. Don't be conformed. Don't be pressured. Don't be molded according to what the world's standards are. Well, the truth is we believe God's word and we put it into our minds, we're transformed. It's not us doing the transforming. We simply take God's word, we put it into our minds, and then God begins to help transform us. And listen, God changes us into what we could never be on our own or in our own strength. Into what He desires for us to be. We can't change ourselves. You can't change your husband, your wife, your child, your whomever. But you know, the great changer is God Almighty. This word of God that goes on into our minds, it brings into puts us in a position of availability so that God can do a work within us to change us into what He desires for us to be, and then we're energized to carry out His purposes here on earth. See, it's a twofold thing. We're in a partnership arrangement here with God. It's not just, you know, it's all on me or it's all on God. It's both of us working together, you know, which is going to require some willingness on my part to want to not only talk to God about things, but when God talks to me about something, that I have the willingness to follow through on what God's telling me. You see, of course, you've heard this maybe before, but a lot of times the opportunity is not hearing from God. It's practically following through on what God is showing you to do. You see, we want to be strong, we want to be wise children of God. We want to be able to manifest the power of God, and we want to have victory in our lives. Maybe I'll just personalize that. I want to have victory in my life. See, look in John chapter 13. And remember, we're talking about a love for all times. Learning how to be these great sources of light, sources of strength, learning how to allow God to express Himself through our lives to a dark world. See, John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus speaks to the disciples. And He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you," what? "Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If what? If you have love for one another. See, that is the great badge of Christianity. See, that's what draws people. That's what attracts people. It's not the drama. You know, it's not as the word turns. It's seeing the love of God in manifestation in all its great qualities. Because wherever we are and whoever we're with, if we are being transformed, we exhibit the qualities of love that could only come with God. You see, in a world that's filled with so much envy, so much strife, so much discord, so much division, that love nature that we've been given so freely, it's a refreshing and a healing departure from the fear and torment that is so readily accepted by society. You know, worry, doubt, fear, these are just things that are readily accepted. Because maybe people have even said to you, you're not worried about that? Wow. You know, I've got to take that statement and put it into my thinking according to what the Word says. You know, the world says, you're not worried? Well, you know, what does God's Word say, you know, about that subject? We have a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of loving. It brings answers. It brings peace in a time where people are in such desperate need of answers, of overcoming issues, of wanting to see things bigger and better and more glorious than they've seen them before. See. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Like that song said, you know, what the world needs now is love. Well, you know, Jesus Christ said there, you know, all men shall know you because of the love that you have for one another. You know, our quest in life is very simple in some ways. Say hello. Our quest in life is very simple. It's to love. If you really want to get it very simple, and in learning how to develop and engage and embrace in that relationship with God Almighty, who is love. You want to know how to love? Then we firm up our relationship with God. We ask God how to do this, how to manifest the love. So it's not just words on the page. It's God teaching us personally how to do these things. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We really don't even need to look it up, I guess, you know. But for God, right, has what? Right. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See? Hey. There's a lot of situations out there that present themselves where, you know, possibly you might want to consider that those people who are out there functioning aren't working with a sound mind. You know what? If they don't know God, they don't have the Spirit of God, guess what? They're not working with a sound mind because they maybe don't really have your best interest in mind. See? Let's see what Jan's version here says, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of instruction. You know, we're so privileged to know about it. The day-to-day operating of this transforming power, it truly does reside in our humble attitude of obedience, and it resides in God's goodness and God's grace. And so in a time of despair and anxiety for many, we really do have a message of hope. We have a message of promise. We have a message of deliverance for those who really, you know, genuinely seek it. And unfortunately, you know what? In some ways, they're not labeled. They don't have a number on their forehead or a yes and no you know, for you to identify. That's why we're speaking the word to God at random. And God calls those people who he truly knows in their heart have a great desire. You know, if God could paint a picture of how much he thinks of you, he'd use every single color of the rainbow, every hue. And if God wrote a poem to tell how great he knows you are, it would stretch from sky to sky and it would reach the highest star. If God wrote you a love song entitled "What You Mean to Me," it would be an everlasting song in godly harmony. But you know what our God did, our Father did far better than a verse or a song for you. He outpainted any picture using every single hue. When he chose you to be his child and placed you in his hands as an integral part of the body of Christ, a vital part of his masterful plan. God sees things so much greater, so much larger than we do. I want to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, certainly gives a great resume of the qualities of the love of God. I thought it'd be really awesome just to review those a little bit here this morning. Because, you know, people and all of us need to have a standard to evaluate certain qualities. And this chapter here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, really gives us a detailed description of the qualities of what God calls the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. That's why I wanted to read those verses in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Because that's talking about us putting this love of God on in our minds, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's desire for us is to walk in love in every situation. See? And if we don't understand how to do this or what to do, or there's things bugging us, or you know what? We talk to God about it. We're in the relationship with him. He's the general partner. I mean, he's a much bigger part of the relationship than we are. See? And he wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us insight into how to live, how to be successful. See? How to be our best in every given situation. And so in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "So I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have this love of God, this in the renewed mind in manifestation." You know what it says? I become like a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. See? Amplified says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." See? "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity," says, "I am nothing." Another way to say that is, if I have all prophetic powers and I understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I gain nothing. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity." Oh, I'm out there fighting, doing it for the Lord. See? "Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor and providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but I have not love, it profits me nothing." Verse 4 says, "Charity suffers long. It's kind. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and finally, charity never fails. Try doing this on your own sometime. Ain't going to happen. See? Ain't going to happen. Amplified said, love endures long. It's patient and kind. It never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited. It's not rude. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't insist on its own rights, its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy. It's not fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It doesn't rejoice in injustice, unrighteousness, but it really rejoices when right and truth prevail. It bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ready, ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. You talk about the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. Wow. What a great standard for us to be able to... No wonder Jesus said, you know, hey, by this, all men are going to know you because they see somebody manifesting these particular qualities. Like, what the heck is going on? Because, you know what? The world is hard. See? Hard. Judging. Condemning. Always putting more pressure on you to perform in a certain way. And when you do, that's not enough. See? And verse 8 says, love, charity never fails. Prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And just by a little bit more of a definition, you know, the word patient means that you're willing to wait for God's perfect timing. And that you have self-restraint and are willing to control your impulses. Hey, these are real life situations I'm talking about here. See, things that we all deal with. And the love of God is kind. Verse 4. You know what it asks? What would this person like? What can I do for this person? What does he need? What does she need? It doesn't seek its own. Because, see, many times it gets twisted. If she would only do such and such, then I'd be happy. You see, love is giving in reverse, so to speak. It's giving without condition. See, with no future favor. That's the awesome thing about God. Is he actually gives and extends love to us unconditionally. You know this love of God, it doesn't envy. You know what that means? That you're happy when somebody else gets blessed. And you're content with what you have. Huh. You see why God encourages us not to be conformed to this world? Because what I'm talking about is exactly the opposite of the way the world thinks. Well, you know, the word of God, the love of God, it doesn't boast. You know what I mean? It doesn't brag. It's not boastful. It's not a brag. Actually, what it does is it gives credit to other people. See, it's not proud. You know what a simple definition is? It doesn't make you think you're better than someone else. The love of God is not proud. It's not rude. It means it's easily entreated. You're gracious. You're courteous. You're kind. You can go into a multitude of situations and exist comfortably. It's not self-seeking. And by that I mean it thinks of others first. And it also could potentially give someone else the first choice. And that you're not always right in every given situation. See, Christianity is this thing about living life from the inside out. Remember in Philippians how Jesus Christ talked about that we would have that heart and humility of mind like a servant, see, willing to put others even before yourself? So amazing. It says that the love of God is not easily angered. You know what that means? You don't jump to conclusions. And you think the best of people. See. Now, I know I'm talking about something that's, you know, a high standard. But this is God's energizing His Spirit within us where this transforming power takes place and we begin to live out this love of God. Love of God, it keeps no record of wrongs. You know what? It remembers the right things. And it doesn't delight in evil. This is a great one. You turn away from gossip. You don't love to entertain gossip. Oh, you know, Stump, blah, you know, Mary Lee, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know, Grace, you blah. Hey, don't be conformed to this world. The world is full of gossip, right? That's just what it's all in. Talk about drama. They even have people in the newspaper called gossip columnists. See? But it's just, it's a lure to just get embraced and it's sort of involved in all that. This person, that person, it's gossip. It's not have anything to do with the love of God. See? And you know what? Maybe that you would put yourself into a situation where you don't watch or entertain things that are ungodly. See? Because in your mind you think, oh yeah, I can handle that. But you know what, somehow it has an effect on you. See? We're not so smart all the time. And it doesn't delight in evil. It doesn't like get a sense of satisfaction when others fall. You know what? It rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves, perseveres. And it never fails. So we've got this great transforming power of the love of God that's working so mightily within us. And so the closing this morning, you know, I want us all to remember, we exhibit Christ to the world. That's who we are. That's what we've been called to be. We're an exhibition of God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's kindness, God's long-suffering. But we show that by the transformation that's occurring within us. And therefore, we really do bring a dynamic knowledge of God's love and favor to every person that we come in contact with. Every person that we come in contact with, we are blessing them. See. And so as our desire grows to really understand more and be in situations to love people and to help people, you know what? God will put us in those situations. And I read something interesting this week about learning to listen to God. And a great practical exercise is this. Ask God if there is someone you can bless. If there's someone you can help. And then be quiet and listen to what God says. That is a great practical exercise to really begin learning how to listen to God. Because God's heart is one of giving. God's heart is one of reaching out, touching. That's what our lives are all about. So this love, it tells the greatest story. It guides the noblest adventure and the adventurer. And that's us. We're on the noblest adventure of all times. See? It moves people in their heart to serve. And it really does energize our ability to keep the vision going. It activates the Master's touch. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And we're the vehicles that God has called today to be able to communicate His love in such a unique, in such a special way. See, what a privilege. What an honor to really be able to do that. And, hey, if we're looking for an example, you see it written throughout the Gospels of a man who walked in love. See, you know, hopefully, you know, I begin to exemplify others here. We all begin to exemplify some of those great qualities. But the man who walked love, talked love, lived love, was guided by love, had a heart of love, everything, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Cool thing is, He lives in us. He's not out there just, you know, trying to get us to figure it out on our own. That's the personalization of the relationship, is that Christ can show us, help us in living love. Because we have the love of God for all times. Okay, Heavenly Father God, thank You so much for this great word and how strengthened and energized and completing, and I don't even know if we can really put into words, Father, the things that have happened and transpired in our lives, but Lord, teach us how to be our best in life situations, and I know that if we're endeavoring to walk in love and to do the most loving thing and to make the most loving decision in any given situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how we feel, that You will be there working with us, Father. Thank You for somehow communicating to us again today the greatness of Your love for our lives, and then just the holy boldness and the fearlessness to walk forward with great vision and great excitement in our hearts to see You working and great expectation. Thank You for all of God's people here today. Father, may our lives before You be a testimony of Your goodness. And may You open great doors for us to be able to serve and to minister and to honor You. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.